I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Tonight I have a lot of things to get to. We will talk about Eddie Van Halen's passing in a little bit. Got some things I can share with you about that coming up. For those of you that don't know, Eddie Van Halen passed away today. He had throat cancer. And it's sad to see someone as talented as Eddie Van Halen passing away. And yes, you know, I know a lot of people out there will say, well, he was just a person. Well, yeah, he was a very important person to a lot of people. And he was an influence on a lot of people, a lot of guitar players, a lot of people who loved rock and roll. So he's an amazing guy, Eddie Van Halen, passing away today. So like I said, we'll get to that in just a second. But in the meantime, I wanted to share with you. I was having a conversation today with a well-known radio giant of a person. He runs a radio network. And we were talking about what I do. And how, you know, there's this, I guess, reputation for those who have conspiracy theory on the mind or those who explore conspiracy theories. There's a reputation now that the mainstream media somehow spun a conspiracy theory as lies. And when you approach a conspiracy theory, when you approach conspiracy theory in itself, you have to say to yourself, well, these are conspiracy theories about everything, everything from the cover-up of Roswell, the cover-up of aliens, cover-up of JFK, the cover-up of 9/11, conspiracies to commit crimes of, that are political in nature. All of these things are on-the-spot conspiracy theories. But what's going on now, we have armchair conspiracy theories that tend to put things on as clickbait. And none of it matches up. So the mainstream media has, you know, a heyday when they find a conspiracy theory that doesn't necessarily measure up. And they spin them too, though. I mean, Michael Moore was spinning the conspiracy theory that Trump doesn't have COVID-19. So they tell you, well, you know, you shouldn't make up conspiracy theories and stuff. And they make them up themselves because it just fits their narrative. But I was telling him, I said, yeah, conspiracy theory. I explore them. I talk about them. I never really made one up, or I never decided that I had any theories about or any conspiracies that I can say, well, there's a conspiracy here somewhere. So most conspiracy theories are already ingrained. They're already part of the conspiracy history. Now, I can speculate. We can use, you know, stories around the story to try and, you know, make one into a solid conspiracy theory. But there's not always a conspiracy. I mean, what you got is you got something. You got treachery. You got people who want to commit crime. You got people who do all kinds of crazy things, and they never have to answer for their crimes. And so I said, that's what, to me, conspiracy theory is. But I call it fringe analytics, to kind of coin a phrase that no one hears that I use. But I also say, you know, there's something I do called parapolitics. I want to share with you tonight how politics and parapolitics differ. Okay. You know, I've been told by many people that I make claims I'm not political and that I use parapolitical talk as a cover for a political agenda. Well, I often argue that when I speak of parapolitical activities, I say it is an exercise in ponerology, the science of evil, and the demonological way in which politics are used as a form of magic with a K. Magic with a K, or alchemical ritual that mesmerizes people into acting a certain way, basically acting upon the wishes of the master magician, or, to use conspiracy theory parlance, we say puppet masters. Magic, with a K, of course, is the dark priestcraft that goes beyond parlor tricks and pulling Mr. Rabbit out of the hat, and it's well-paced and long-serving. It's a process that most people are not aware, or they're not even aware that they are under a dark spell, or they've been introduced or initiated into a dark spell. I want to illustrate tonight, I want to actually go into how retrocausal magic works. I mean, it's a simple trick of using language as a virus. neurolinguistic programming, to coin a phrase. And going back in history, we can count on the occult practices within Nazism to make a point. Much has been written about, of course, the so-called secret doctrine, which is, you know, a lot of people equate with Luciferian dogma in the cabal of the spiritual hidden masters. I mean, this is some pretty dark, magical stuff here. I mean, what's all October about? It's about magic. It's about those things that scare you, those things that lurk in the shadows. I mean, we all know about what the Nazi Party went on to accomplish. What people may not know is the extent to which these actions were inspired. And I mean, throw in some authoritarian charisma, a little retrocausal voodoo, and you have a poor population being told that the future survival of their race depends on their adherence to authoritarian superiors guided by a synarch. That's a divine, something beyond the divine, something that gives them their information, some secret information from secret chiefs or aliens or some other group, who knows. But it's an unknown brotherhood. Whether it be some cosmic brotherhood, some cosmic group like the Nine or some other group. The challenge is how to illustrate that the same type of retrocausal magic is being used here in the United States. Well, first, let me just define it a little bit here. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But, okay, when you look at retrocausal magic, it's a process of preparing you for a major event that has occurred in the future. Now, mull that over for a minute. Retrocausal magic is a process of preparing you for a major event that has occurred in the future. The echo in transit affects the actions of those in the present. Now, if the master magicians have second sight, or if the prophetic synarch knows of an event in the future, they will conjure a way to get the people to prepare for that event in the present. For example, now, you got to listen closely to what I'm about to tell you because it may throw you off a bit, and I know it will, but listen to me carefully. When you look at the 9/11 attacks, remember back in 2001, the 9/11 attacks, nearly 3,000 people died as a direct result of the attacks on the World Trade Center. Now, we were told that the person responsible was Osama bin Laden. This same Osama bin Laden allegedly led the Mujahideen, the group that was crucial in wearing down the Soviets in the Russian-Afghanistan war, the very same war that some say facilitated the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of Soviet communism that ended in the late 1980s. So, in a retrocausal way, when communism fell in 1989, it was 3,000 people that were sacrificed in 2001 that may have influenced the outcome because of our relationship with bin Laden, the Mujahideen, who eventually evolved into Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups like ISIS. Now, the question is whether or not you believe that an event in 2001 affected events in 1989. Logically, it's insane to even suggest it, but blowback. When you're tampering with the laws of time, blowback tends to create problems for the practitioners. You have an agent who is there to bring about an event. And that event was to wear down the Soviet army, to wear down the Soviet resolve, and eventually the fall of the wall, the fall of Soviet Russia. But yet, many years into the future, 2001, that same individual that helped bring down communism was that same individual that murdered 3,000 people in New York on September 11, 2001. Basically, 3,000 people died in the future as that agent was bringing down the Soviet Union, the Soviet armies in the Afghani war. So it's hard to believe that an event that happened in the future somehow influenced the communist fall in 1989. So those 3,000 people were part of the Cold War, bringing down the Soviet Union. Now, It's all about balancing the role of entropy in self-organizing systems, right? You see the chaos, you bring order to it. You see more chaos, you bring order to it. See, we're obviously in a war that is an occult war, and the evidence is mounting to that conclusion. You understand? I know it's hard to believe, but think about that. Think about, and I even brought that up to Senator Orrin Hatch, who was the head of the 9/11 committee. I said, you realize that 3,000 people had to die in 2001 in order to bring down communism in 1989 because Osama bin Laden was crucial in helping with that. So he was the agent in that present that brought about terrorism, that brought terrorism into our world. And now for some reason, we have another man, Donald Trump, who some believe are, you know, that he has some quantum, purpose in our world. That all of a sudden, since he's come into the picture, chaos again, entropy has happened again in the world. But we've managed to keep that ghost of terrorism at bay because it doesn't fit into the timeline yet. And the event that happens in the future, we don't even know what it is, but we're preparing for it right now. That's why we have the mask wearing. That's why we have the social distancing. It's not just about COVID-19. These are practices that are ritualistic, to bring about a cause, an event, and causality. So the whole reverse causality, the retrocausality, is part of the spell that has you in its grip. Think about that as we take a break here on Ground Zero. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.